are here, the whip is here, and all other honorable members are here. We don't have much time, but I think it's in the interest of our work for honorable members to reflect on the framework that we've been given by the committee to work from. I'll give you an example. For instance, when I welcome a candidate, I always prefer on the approach. We have this framework as to how we manage it. So maybe we can just have that snap debate, really a snap one, because candidates have been messed up. Okay, Honorable Fanda.
Chair, I'd like to, so what we usually do with SABC board interviews is that each member is allocated amount of time to have a conversation with a candidate. So we have 60 minutes and there are 8 of us. So can we keep the introduction brief? I think they know why they're here, and each member be given 7 minutes to engage with the candidate without interruption, so that we can, you know, have a to and fro conversation with each candidate. That's how we usually do it. And if other members agree, I'd say 7 minutes. I don't know if it works out in terms of the hour that we have. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Josie.
Thanks, Chairperson. I agree with Honorable Van Dam, except the mathematics of time that would exceed the 60 minutes that we have, but also it would mean the candidate would not speak. It seems to me that perhaps if we handled it party by party, so if that were to be the case, the three political parties with the possibility of follow-ups. So you give the candidate 10 minutes to make their presentation, and then 7 minutes is fine with the candidate, with the possibility of follow-ups from members who have not spoken. So that means it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes plus 21 minutes is equal to 31. So we'll have 31, about 29 minutes of possible follow-ups from anyway. I think that's fair.
Yeah, let's allow one another.
Chair, I think let's follow the procedure we usually follow. Because if we take the direction of Honorable Lose, it will lead us to a situation where we'll have to follow the parliamentary in all, you know, of how times are allocated to parties. That is very important and fundamental. So I'll say, let us not go there. Otherwise, if they want, we can go there. But the problem is, it's going to have that problem.
Maybe we need, if you can just give us a clear guidance.
No, I was saying, Chair, 5 minutes each will be for each member of the committee to ask a question, to engage, because that's how we do it, to engage the candidate.
think I would want to second Honorable Kalako on the 5 minutes, and we'll then engage with the candidate. Thanks, Chair.
No, Chair, I'm covered. I think it's, yeah, with the 5 minutes as well.
Honorable Sandan. Yes, I'm happy with the 5 minutes. Between us, Honorable Van Dijk and I will handle the 5 minutes. I may take some of her 5 minutes, but we'll see how it goes going forward. Honorable Nzonzi?
No, there's no such a thing. The principle is that we are acting as members of the committee from what Kalako said, not as parties. Because Honorable Fandam would agree that if she does that, then it's going to take more time. No. If they can exchange time like that. So let's stick to 5 minutes per member. And the chairperson at the end, when there's still more time, she takes follow-up, and we can come back. Even with the time we have here, if you give the person 10 minutes to present, sorry, 5 times 8 is 40 minutes. So we'll have time at the end. Or there'll be one. Yeah, 5 minutes each. If a member is not contributing, you pass to the next one. There's no there's no donating of 5 minutes.
Chair, I don't think we must waste time on this issue. I don't think we must waste time on this issue. We have already agreed 5 minutes each. We must not go that route. It will complicate things. Let's agree 5 minutes each, as agreed, and proceed. That one will complicate the process.
No, Chair, I don't think it will complicate the process. We work in tandem. Our research is the same. What we have done is that we split up portfolios, the two of us, and the SABC is my portfolio. So if she's given 5 minutes, for 5 minutes each, and there are questions that still remain, I do not see a problem if she as a member says, I would like to give my 5 minutes to another member. What's the problem? I mean, the ANC has 4 people. They can all ask questions. And if they feel like giving their five, if one member says, I don't have questions, but I think Honorable Kalako might have more questions, let's please not try and complicate things. If Honorable Van Dijk wants to give me her minutes, can we just proceed and stop quibbling over minor issues? I don't know what you people are afraid of me having 10 minutes. What's going to happen? Come on, guys. There's 6 of you here. There's one of me in Saban.
How? Honorable Van Dijk. Honorable Kaba.
No, Chair, I think many members have spoken on a 5 minute per member, and we didn't introduce a waiver or an amendment of a proposal which is seconded to can be given to another member. So we didn't expand what is already seconded. So the chair will then rule, I think, on that, because the proposal Kalako yenzile, and then we supported it. We are equal members here, and as a result, that's how we would want to contribute to this interview. Thanks.
Before I think, do you want to?
I just want to ask you to please rule. If a member of this committee would like to give the 5 minutes to another member, what is the problem? It's literally me, one person. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people from the ANC who are all going to get a chance. All I'm asking is that if Honorable Van Dijk would like to give me her minutes, I would like to use them. I don't know what the fear is of me having more than 5 minutes. Well, what's the issue? Why are people upset about the idea of me having more time to question? They have lots of people, please, there's no need to be afraid of me. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just here to interview people. Please, let's go. Let's proceed. Ask Nsaba.
Honorable members, before Nsaba, you see, the idea of follow-up questions is very, very important. Because even if the questions were raised by, I'm a little bit surprised and shocked that we stick to our political heads even when interviewing candidates, because if, for instance, I'm interested in governance, I'm taking it as governance-related questions, another member, whether it's from a panel member, might spend 5 minutes, but I might be interested in follow-up questions if I think they are outstanding things. So the spirit should really be to make sure that we leave no stone unturned on critical issues, the thematic areas. If we have that flexibility, of course we avoid a situation where members take too much time talking, try to, you know, go to a point with regard to questions, as long as it's clear, so as to allow a candidate to expose herself or himself freely. But the follow-up, that's where I suppose people have a chance. Honorable said.
Yeah. There will obviously be instances where in the process of the interviews, the candidate clarifies some of the issues that I would have wanted him or her to clarify, which will then suggest that I might not necessarily find it more appropriate to proceed with my question. So that does not suggest that the next person must then take my minutes. And there's nothing wrong in that, to say I'm covered by what the candidate has said earlier on, and therefore allowing the rest of the members to proceed with their questions. But then there's no suggest that Ukalako must then take his taking Honorable Tseli's minutes. It should be wrong. But I think let's proceed, Chair. Let's proceed.
I think whatever we do, as I've said, is really about ensuring that, okay, maybe let me start off. It's a 5 minutes opportunity for each panel member to interact. It could be less because it depends on people, how they respond. Other people you have to dig, others will say half the things you want to hear quickly. We will support them but also encourage them to be. But the limit is 5 minutes. And the questions, as I've said, we should avoid elaborate analysis from panel members, because sometimes by the time you ask a question, the candidate doesn't know what really is a question if you have spent too much time talking about what you know. I think those are standard procedures. So if I understand the proposal very well, is that I then had added that, but then when it comes to follow up, that's when people have an opportunity. We can allow a snap debate on follow up so that no one is restricted that, because as this political party, I ask my question, even if there's a scope for a follow up question, which will help the panel to get a better feel of a candidate. So I'm appealing that let's hold each other by the hand as panelists.
Not sure. I just want to be clear. Are you on the issue of, can a member say, I like for example, Honorable Zedi can say, after Honorable Galago is speaking, I like the direction Honorable Galago is taking a discussion. I would like to give my time to Honorable Galago so he can probe further on that specific issue. Because Honorable Galago might have zeroed in on a specific issue, but that 5 minutes doesn't give him enough time to fully delve into the situation. So Honorable Zedi can say, no, my 5 minutes I give Honorable Galago. Honorable Galago has started a good conversation. I'd like him to continue. I think we should be allowed to do that, Chair. And we've done it before. Can we please not waste time on this issue? We've done that before in this committee, where members have been like, no, Honorable Gungubele is asking good questions. I give my time to Honorable Gungubele. So we've done it before. It's not something new that I'm introducing. So can we just proceed and see how it goes, play it by the ear? Honorable Van Dijk might very well have her own questions, but if in an instance where she feels that I'm going in the right direction, she might give me her time. The same goes for other members who might have the same feeling and feel that, ish, this person's asking good questions, but that 5 minutes has now cut them. So I want them to continue asking those questions. So, Chair, that's all I'm appealing for, and I'd like you to rule on that, because I think in order for us to properly probe candidates, it's important that we know exactly who we are appointing. So there must be sufficient time for us to properly probe. So let's not put in restrictions that are unnecessary. Why must we be restricted like that? Let's make it open. Let's make it an open conversation. Let's work together as a committee. Let's give, if I see, for example, that Honorable Zedi is asking a good question, I might even say, no, I'm giving Honorable Zedi my time because I like the questions Honorable Zedi is asking. So please, can we not put restrictions on ourselves? Let's just interview. Let's do the best. Let's make sure South Africa has a good SABC board, and not let's spend time quibbling about time. Let's focus on the task in front of us. I don't know why people are so concerned. We're here to work together, and if someone's asking a good question and you want to give them their time, give them their time. Can we please proceed?
Honorable Fanda, I think the exercise we've just gone through, it is important to build consensus. Sometimes, you know, in meetings, you might see it as a waste of time, but it eliminates confusion during the important process. So I think it's okay. It might look like a waste of time, but to ensure that members are on the same page. Yeah, so there was just one item which I'm just drawing your attention because I got it here. I'm flagging it, nobody's going to debate it. There's a letter which I got from COSATU. I don't know how many of you have received it. Yeah, I don't know whether to read everything, but basically they are saying, dear Madam Chairperson, COSATU and its affiliate, the Communication Workers Union, have noted that the short list drafted by the Portfolio Committee on Communications to fill the SABC board vacancies is in direct violation not only of the requirements of the advert calling for nominations from the public, but more importantly, in violation of the Broadcasting Act itself. A reference is made to Section 13.4.A of the Broadcasting Act requires the inclusion of persons from labor on the SABC board. The nomination advert similarly stipulated that legal requirement. According to the short list of candidates released by Parliament No persons from Labour have been shortlisted for consideration for the board. The shortlist, is this in direct violation of the Broadcasting Act and ADVET? For workers at SABC, COSATU and CWU, this is a massive crisis. 900 permanent and 2,200 contract workers are being threatened with retrenchment, notwithstanding the minister's correct intervention at SABC. SABC has been run into the ground over the years by corrupt and incompetent boards and management workers. Workers have a vital stake in SABC's well-being and can add valuable insight into the challenges and opportunities it faces. It is critical for workers to be represented on the board. This is a legal requirement of the Act. It is the norm across most boards in the public sector. Yet Parliament for several years has failed to ensure Labour is represented on the board. This is despite COSATU and CW making nominations of qualified candidates. COSATU and CW did make such a nomination for this current process in December 2018. Parliament has failed to include not only COSATU and the Communication Workers Union's nomination of a Labour candidate for consideration on any or any other Labour representative. COSATU and Communications Workers Union are therefore calling upon the Portfolio Committee and Parliament to halt this process until this matter is rectified. This process, Parliament and the Board must, in line with the Broadcasting Act, in both word and spirit. This is non-negotiable for Labour. Failure by Parliament to rectify this matter and to act within the spirit and requirements of the Act will compel COSATU and Communication Workers Union to approach the courts for a legal interdict to hold the parliamentary processes until such time that Parliament is in compliance with the Broadcasting Act. Honourable Members, I had asked to present this, but not for discussion, because procedurally it has to be referred to our legal department. I hope there's no temptation to start engaging. Thank you very much, Honourable Members.
Can you share the letter with us? Because it looks like they are misquoting the law. Just please share with us, because it will help. Once you've raised it, we will be asked about it out here. And you know, there are a lot of EFF members in CW there. I would want to ask them as well if they were consulted. Thank you.
As I've said, for now, really, it was just to make the panelists to be aware, but it will be channeled through parliamentary processes. You will get it. The legal department will get it as well. At this point in time, I think the members of the panel are ready for the first candidate.
Maybe, Chair, before, when will we indulge on the issue? Because I'm avoiding a situation where we continue without having cleared our position. Because now it's in the public domain now, as you have actually tabled here in the committee. I think we also need that to know whether the legal will come back to us tomorrow, and then so that we know we are continuing with the interviews without any hindrance or challenge.
Honourable Fana.
Chair, Honourable Zoz is correct. They are misquoting the Broadcasting Act. The Broadcasting Act does not have a requirement for a Labour representative to be appointed on the SABC board. Anyone is free to apply, and we as members of this committee are free to nominate. So we can't be forced to nominate a specific individual from a specific organization and threatened with legal action because we haven't done that. If they want their representatives on the board, they must apply and put good people on so they can be shortlisted. We have work to do. They must quote in the law. If they go to court, just to tell them they'll be wasting their time because the Broadcasting Act doesn't say that.
Now we're discussing the subject matter.
Yeah. Honorable members,
you know, when I said this letter should be referred to the legal department, it is, number one for me, is to establish whether, you know, administratively, is this panel able to do anything? Let's say we take organized labor as a legitimate structure, they want, you know, is there anything that this structure can do at this point in time? We shortlisted, we publicized the names, we did everything. I really do not want us to deal with substance. We rather have, we will get a legal opinion by tomorrow. In terms of the process where it is now, because that's where it starts. We are at the point where we have shortlisted, we have publicized the names, and here is the letter. A legitimate letter from organized labor. It's no ordinary small structure. It's an important structure. So hence my appeal was that we don't just discuss it. We go through a process of parliament, and then we will have somebody, an opinion tomorrow morning when we adjourn. Honorable Clark.
No, Chair, I think you have said a mouthful, and I think it's a correct process. However, Chair, you were about to ask about the issue of the candidates. I wanted to request from you, Chair, if the Secretariat will take us into confidence around the files we have so that we are on par with the correct documentation that we have, because it will be used as referral as we proceed in the process of the interviews, and also maybe to indicate who's here and all that just before we may proceed so that we are ready.
They will talk to you about the files, but the order before me is Ms. Yasmin Patel, Advocate Matthew Smufukeng, Advocate Benjamin Ligalagala. Those are the first three that we have to, whom I'm told they are waiting outside. The file.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, honorable members. Chairperson, the file is prepared to assist members, consists of a program. Firstly, consists of a notice of the meeting, then the program for today's candidates, the themes for interviewing SABC board candidates, the Broadcasting Act, and the CVs of the eight candidates. We often assist members, even though we know that they do have these CVs in their possessions and distributed to them, but we still bring extra copies to the meeting. Hence, we've put up that file. It's merely to assist members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Is the first candidate, thank you, is the first candidate ready?
You haven't ruled on the issue about donation of time.
Can I request the indulgence of yourself, and can I request our members to be
honorable and respect the majority view that has been presented. Clearly, it is not the ideal that the Honorable Van Damme raised as a proposal. So I would prefer then, or recommend that we proceed and we stick to the majority view of the 5 minutes. Thank you.
I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you, Ms. Patel. We owe you an apology. I know on my arrival you were already outside. Due to our parliamentary program, we couldn't start exactly on time. But I believe the Secretariat has been in touch with you. So we hope it didn't affect you in any way. So, honorable panel members, here is our candidate. You have a glass of water, and we really want you to feel comfortable and express yourself freely as much as you can. And the first part, as a chair, which I thought it's important for you while members are getting ready to ask you specific questions, is really to just have a snap discussion with us in terms of your qualifications or your experience, whatever it is that you think the panel must know, which has brought you here to a point of being shortlisted.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members. Okay, so I don't have to hold the seat. Okay. My name is Jasmina Patel. I'm from the Limpopo province, specifically Makata Luitri Hut. I work for University of Limpopo. I currently serve as the Chief Audit Executive, which is basically heading the Internal Audit Division at the University of Limpopo. I've been there since 2011. When I started at the University of Limpopo, the internal audit function was co-sourced and there was no actual internal audit department. So I assisted in setting it up. I drew up a terms of reference, a charter for internal audit, introduced a whistleblowing hotline, and basically set up the internal audit function that is very effectively run at the moment. Prior to that, I was at PwC, where I served 13 years. I'm actually in my 21st year of practicing as an internal auditor, so I'm in the adult stage of my career. And at PwC, I served many roles. I firstly serviced clients. The clients that I serviced were basically mostly public sector, and the type of services that we rendered was risk management, corporate governance, consultation, internal audit. I was very involved in training internal auditors at municipalities and at LIMDEF. I was also instrumental in setting up risk management at the Limpopo Legislature. And the other responsibilities that I had was being responsible for women in PwC. I was the Code of Conduct Champion at PwC, so that entails me training ethics officers. I was responsible for corporate social responsibility, so I played many roles at PwC. I am a member of the Institute of Internal Auditors, South Africa. I was the regional governor for the Limpopo region on behalf of the Institute of Internal Audit for almost a decade. I've been instrumental in setting up the Higher Education Internal Audit Forum, which is now called the Forensic Audit Risk the Forum of Forensics, Audit and Risk Management. With the IIASA, which is the Institute of Internal Auditors South Africa, I was awarded I received an award in 2016 for excellence in internal audit leadership. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Here's his patel in front of us, honorable Fanda.
Thank you, Ms. Patel, and thank you for joining us today. I see you're nervous. Just relax and feel at ease. We're just here to select the best people for the board. You're not under attack. So I'm very impressed with your CV and the long history you have in audit. But you're going into the SABC, which has its own unique financial problems and its own unique audit issues. So I see that you mentioned in the CV, in your CV, that part of your work is designing reports to keep abreast of modern trends. So I'm assuming before you came here today, you looked at the SABC, you looked at its current financial situation. So if you are on the board and you know the financial situation the SABC is in right now, what creative solutions would you bring to the board? And not saying the SABC needs a guarantee. I want you to think outside of the box. So what creative solutions would you bring to the SABC regarding its funding model, regarding how it manages its finances, all those sort of things?
Thank you. Firstly, if you look at the annual financial statements of 2017-2018 at the SABC, the SABC got a disclaimer of opinion basically on three matters, being that of operating as a going concern, that they were concerned it won't be able to operate as a going concern because of sustainability issues, the concern of asset management and property, and the third one being irregular expenditure. So in order to address that and ensure that the SABC is sustainable going forward, besides the guarantee, I would say that there needs to be stringent controls over irregular expenditure. So meet with the auditors, meet with all the assurance providers, internal audit, forensic, external auditors, determine what caused for the SABC to be in the situation, and see how far they are in implementing the recommendations so that the cost can be contained, the controls in place can prevent additional income from being lost or additional expenditure being incurred. I would then also look at the different ways to bring in revenue. At the moment, the revenue is generated from advertising costs or advertising revenue, and licenses, and obviously subsidies and some people donating money to SABC or sponsoring money, the correct word. I would say that if we have to think out of the box, we need to go more the route of digital migration, in the sense that we need to I think there's more to attract the youth and attract people who are already in the fourth industrial revolution to be able to also market OTT or allow for OTT, over-the-top programs like Netflix and Showmax, but at a more reasonable rate so that we can attract subscribers as SABC. Sorry, I keep saying we, but that way. So I would say that the digital transformation is essential so that we can attract viewership that way. That will bring in additional revenue. I would also suggest that or come up with the innovative thing of creating apps where, I mean, all the youth of today are so interested in apps, and maybe there should be an app that SABC has that with one button you're able to access programs, and that will attract the interest of the youth. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Mayor Patel. Anyway, it's like we could speak 11 official languages, but I think I would confine my questions in the English. welcome, anyway. I don't know, man. Do you have a TV license? Are you paying it? Maybe as one question, and then the other one would be, what will be your understanding around the Companies Act with regard also to Broadcasting Act in terms of SABC, the role clarification, and where do they meet? Last two questions will be, the president announced the question of unbundling, but no, it's not in SABC. No, I wanted to understand the three-tier system of importance with regard to the sector of SABC, and then on the digital migration, how would you contribute for the SABC in your competencies for it to be speedily implemented, and what could be your advice or input? Lastly, SABC has a history of like being bankrupt or maybe no money. How could we really solve this so that it is not with us for a long time? Thank you.
Thank you. The first question was TV license and whether I paid. Yes, I do. I got constant reminders a few months ago. So that shows that SABC is really going all out to try and get people to pay their license fees. And yes, I have paid my license fee. With regard to the Companies Act and the Broadcasting Act, the SABC has a governance framework or a legislation framework that it needs to adhere to. And part of that framework is the Companies Act, the Memorandum of Agreement, Broadcasting Act, etc. The Broadcasting Act, the Companies Act actually gives effect to the Broadcasting Act, because if you look at the Broadcasting Act, it continuously makes reference to the Companies Act in terms of how audit committees should operate, what board members' responsibilities are, etc. The concern that I do have with regard to the Companies Act and Broadcasting Act, and also bringing in the SABC charter and the memorandum of incorporation, is that they're not streamlined, so they're not gelling. There seems to be certain things that contradict each other. So that is my response to your question. Regarding the three-tier importance of the SABC, if you can please clarify that question for me.
Okay. No, I think it relates to the knowledge of the sector. I wanted you to speak to the three-tier system of its importance.
Okay, I'll come back to that. I'm not sure. With regard to digital migration and what can we suggest to speedily implement the digital migration at the SABC, I understand that it's already a decade behind. And that the whole model that was previously recommended has been put on hold, and that they now are going to be giving out vouchers to the individuals that, or family of the homes that require it, and to ensure that this occurs appropriately or quickly, I would say that we need to form a partnership with maybe the private sector to ensure that these that households are visited and encouraged to use the vouchers and migrate to from analog to digital. The next question was that the perception, well, the reality is that SABC has been bankrupt. I think the last time they generated a profit was in 2014, and since then it's been bankrupt. And how I would suggest for it to turn around, well, basically, to put controls in place to manage the irregular, unauthorized, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I would also maybe get consultants or audit all the in-house internal auditors, or to do an analysis of whether there's any payments that are made or purchases that are made that are deliberately bypassed, so that that are deliberately split, should I say, to bypass tender processes. And if there are tender processes, whether it's in adherence to the preferential procurement policy. So that covers how to control unnecessary expenses. Then I would say, as I mentioned earlier, about how to generate revenue at the SABC, and also imbibe a culture of ethics. I think that's where most institutions, including the SABC, is failing as an organization, in that it's led by members and officials and delegates who are not as ethical as they should be. That's resulted in the fish rotting from the top. So I think it's bringing in ethics and training people on ethics, setting aside funds to train people on ethics, is essential if the SABC wants to continue as an organization that can sustain itself.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kalako.
Lord Chair, I'm still preparing my questions now.
Honorable Fakate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Ms. Patel, you've indicated and you've also motivated in your CV elaborate in terms of your experience and your qualifications in terms of the financial side. And we've just heard at the letter before you came in from Trade Union Federation, COSAT, with regards to a representative or someone dealing with labor issues not necessarily being shortlisted. So my question would be, we know that there has been some instances of labor unrest in various institutions, including the SABC. How would you deal with such a matter in the absence of a labor expert on the board? What would you do in terms of how to remedy that situation? The next question would be in terms of the Broadcasting Amendment Bill. What is your sentiments around that, and what is the knowledge that you have in terms of what entails that Broadcasting Amendment Bill? Do you know what it is about and how it affects your the board members, or how it would affect the board members and the SABC? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member, can I just clarify, do you want to know what is the role of, like, of a union member on the board, or do you want me to address how to resolve labor unrest?
Yes, the latter part. As a board member, how would you also contribute in dealing, ensuring that labor unrest is resolved in the absence of a labor expert on the board?
The first question I would ask myself is, why is there labor unrest? Usually there's labor unrest when there's low morale or their salaries, they're not satisfied with their salaries or their jobs are on the line. And should that be the case, and I know it was in the past where there was labor unrest issues and the board was trying to address it by proposing staff retention. Prior to doing that, I think it's essential that the board requests for a work skills plan or work skills audit to be conducted to determine whether there is either any redundant staff, whether the staff that are being paid are being paid fairly, are they being remunerated properly. Discuss with them what the issues are, have monthly meetings perhaps with staff to discuss what kind of issues and challenges they're facing, what they're happy with, what they're not happy with. And that kind of collaboration would result in less labor unrest. Okay, then your next question was the Broadcasting Amendment Bill. I think the Broadcasting Amendment Bill covers mostly how the SABC should, any broadcasting organization should address the digital terrestrial. I think that's what the Broadcasting Amendment Bill addresses. And it also clearly outlines the roles and responsibilities of executive directors and non-executive directors and the role between the shareholder of SABC and the board. I think it's the current one actually clarifies it. I think it's just outlining to prevent conflicts and things like that. It's becoming clearer on the meaningful. And then your last question was, I think that was the last question, right? Okay, thank you.
Morning, Ms. Bata. I have two questions here. The president has just proclaimed the 8th of May as the date for the national and provincial elections. What do you understand to be the role of the SABC in these elections?
Thank you. The role of the SABC in elections is a public mandate, which falls under the news and current affairs category. And the public is highly reliant on the SABC to conduct itself in a transparent manner when covering the elections, whether it's during the manifesto, pre-election campaigns, and it has to adequately cover all political parties fairly, and it must be able to be very, lack of a better word, transparent in its dealings with the election.
The last one. I'm sure you're aware that the board is composed of the executives and non-executive directors, and there is a debate which suggests that the role of the executives might have to be reviewed, because some are like saying it's like it's a player and a referee sort of a setup. What's your take on that?
So you want to know whether the whether that should be the case, of whether the executive's role should be...
Yeah, just your understanding. Your group chief executive, your CFO, their role in the board. Some are saying like these people are playing player, referees, sort of a setup.
Okay, so...
What's your understanding?
Okay, sorry, yes. Okay, so... a board is responsible for oversight and strategic direction of the SABC. So it has the ultimate responsibility and control of the SABC. So part of the board is the executive directors and the non-executive directors. The executive directors are responsible for day-to-day operations, and whereas the non-executive directors are the ones that will direct the executive directors, and the executive directors have an authority to report to the board, to the non-executive directors.
The last one. I'm sure you might have done a bit of research about the challenges that the SABC is confronted with for now. I'm sure some have even led to the kind of situation in which you find yourself now. If appointed a board member, what do you understand to be the role that you can play as a board member to deal with some of the challenges that confront the SABC?
Okay, thank you. So the type of challenges that I addressed this in the very first question, but to add on, the type of challenges that the SABC is facing is sustainability. It's its ability to sustain itself. It's also facing the fact that more and more viewers are moving away from the SABC. And when I say viewers, I'm talking about the medium class viewers. I know that there's the majority of South Africa is reliant on SABC as the only source of news, etc. But we need to move towards a digital age so that we can attract viewership. The other challenges is that it's the fact that there's a lot of fraud and corruption at SABC. And that is evident from all the news that we've been seeing in the last few months. And I would say there's actually a tsunami of fraud and corruption at the SABC. And to address that, you need, as a board, you need to seek assurance from your assurance providers, which would be the internal audit function, the forensic auditors, special investigation unit, and the external auditors. And as a board, I would advise audit committee or the audit committee chairperson even to meet with these assurance providers to determine what is causing all the problems at SABC, why it's happening, what's the cause of it, and how we can make recommendations, and if recommendations have been made, implementation thereof. The other challenge is also associated with fraud and corruption is the lack of ethics at the SABC and integrity, and this needs to be instilled in employees, board members of the SABC.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zuzi. I understand you have donated your time to Mashova.
She's very happy to donate her to me. Well, I'm going to do a to and fro. Please keep your answers short. I'll keep my questions short. What's your favorite program on the SABC except the news?
I'll be very honest. I hardly watch news.
Okay. What's your view on the 90% rule in relation particularly to, you know, its financial implications?
The 90% rule is the local content.
You're asking me?
I'm asking. I ask a question. Fine. Is it the 90%?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, the 90% local content, I believe that has reduced the advertising advertising revenue that's been generated. If there's, there's been a loss of viewership, and on the other hand, I think it's very good to support local, but financially, I think it made an impact.
So what do we do? We abandon the local and we watch Netflix?
I think you can have a combination.
In what way?
So that the community or the public out there has a choice of what they would like to watch. So improve on the content that is aired on TV. Have a variety of content.
Do you know that the SABC just cancelled one of the longest shows it had called The Bold and the Beautiful?
Yes.
Do you know why? I mean, we're talking money, isn't it? Programs that bring money to the SABC.
I would say that it probably cancelled.
You can say you don't know.
It cancelled the show of Bold and Beautiful because it's probably a very high cost to air it, and with the exchange rate that we have, it's probably increasing higher and higher.
Okay. So I'm very concerned because, you see, SABC has a license of free to air. Because of the push against the commercialization of information, that I have to have money in order to get access to information. So the OTTs have a big problem in relation, for instance, to data costs. And you just recommended that that's the direction we should take. Majority of the people who are rich in this country don't watch the SABC that much anymore. You know, they move into these OTTs, including, you know, MultiChoice itself, it's suffering in that sense. How would you reconcile the two, the fact that the SABC has this public broadcaster responsibility to make sure that it is accessible to the poor at no cost, at least, or at a very lower cost, and the fact that it has so much financial problems? How do you reconcile?
Okay, so I would say that, yes, it is at a cost currently. But going forward, because of the because of freeing up the radio frequency spectrum, it will allow for additional channels to be broadcasted. And also it will free up the bandwidth so that there's more Wi-Fi. The people in the rural area will have access to content via digital, and also I just read the other day that we've already in the 5G network in most of places in Joburg, and they have an intention of rolling that out throughout South Africa, and I think that will help in maintaining data costs or reducing data costs, and thereby allowing different variety of content to be to be at the disposal of the public to choose what they want to watch.
Okay, my two final questions have to do with many people don't stay in this board. It has not kept a lot of people for a very long time. Why do you think it's the case? I mean, surely you've asked yourself why very well-celebrated veterans in different industries have not stayed on the board. Why do you think it's the problem?
I would say it's the situation that SABC is in. It's the sustainability. I'm sure the SABC board members are feeling overwhelmed with the responsibilities. As an oversight body, they probably have to start becoming more involved in fixing the challenges at the SABC. I think it would have to do, and as it did in the past, with ministerial interference. In the sense that the Minister of Communication or the shareholder interferes in the roles and responsibilities of board members, arising in conflict, and then they have no option but to resign to protect their reputation.
So what are you going to do to protect your reputation? That will be my final question.
Well, if I'm successful in being appointed as a board member, should I be faced with a situation where I'm not able to execute my duties, I will bring it to the attention of the relevant bodies, being the Minister of Communication or the PCC, and if need be, even go to the Public Protector. I will stand my ground. I'm not shy to state things the way they are, and where challenge where there's corruption and fraud, it has to be exposed and dealt with.
Just final word, Chair. No, it's because I'm efficient. We give short answers and short questions, no? Okay. Is it fine?
Go ahead. No.
Yeah, in the beginning, you said you don't watch the SABC. Is it fair to the people of South Africa that we appoint to the board a person who's going to lead the SABC, but before that they've not been interested in its programs? Is it fair for us to do that? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. SABC does not only involve television. It involves radio. I listen a lot to the radio because I travel a lot. So I do listen to SAFM. In fact, Stephen Curtis is my daily show that I follow, the SAFM Sunrise. So it's not that I don't support SABC. It's just that I don't get time to watch TV because I'm traveling constantly, so I do listen to the radio.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patel. Honorable members, our time with Ms. Patel is over, but I think in all fairness, if really there is an important question which will bring further clarity, let's allow one or two members. Yes, Ms. Anna.
Thanks, Ms. Patel. So part of the interview is not really, it's not only assessing what the person says, but also how a person presents themselves. So the SABC is a highly contested political space. It is tough. And we need people who have true grit, who have backbones of steel, who have a hide of a rhino, so that when the going gets hard, they don't quit. So I don't want to appoint someone who will quit. I want someone, when someone brings a document for you to sign, you say no. So the way you've presented yourself today does not come across as someone who is very confident, who is very firm, who will not stand up to bullies. So I'm not convinced on that side. So you need to convince me that you are that person, that you have true grits, that if you would stand up for the SABC's independence, you will stand up against political interference, you will stand firm. So I understand that this is a daunting environment, appearing in Parliament, but also you presenting yourself so that we can appoint you to the board, because we don't want to be back here in a few months appointing another board member because things got tough and people quit. So are you in it for the long run? Do you understand what you're getting into? Do you truly understand what the SABC board is and what the SABC is? And are you willing to see it through? It will be tough. I think you must understand that. And you can't make it tough, go, it was too hard for me now I'm going to quit. So convince me that you have true grits, you have a backbone of steel, and you're not a quitter.
Yes, I'm definitely in it. I may have come across as very timid today. It is an interview. However, in my career and my profession, I've had to deal with a lot of contentious issues. When you raise audit findings, officials are adamant about, they'll try and convince you not to raise an audit finding. And if you have to look at the type of audit findings that we raise, the type of investigations that we do, it's all fraud related, and we have to recommend for a forensic audit to be done. Most of the time you would get officials that would say, Jasmina, let's look at another way of addressing this. But I have to, I, I have to put my foot down and insist on a forensic audit to be done. And I always get it right. I may not seem that I get it right, but I do. I get it right. I stand my ground. I report to the necessary bodies if I have to. If it relates to the officials, I bring it to the attention of management. If it's management, I bring it to the attention of the chairperson of audit committee. There's been whistleblowing cases where I've been threatened, and I, the organization that I work for went out of their way to make sure that I am protected, but that will only happen if I'm standing my ground to be threatened. So, yes, I can do that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patel.
Thanks, Ms. Patel. Mine, really, I'm happy about you paying TV license. Given the fact that majority of our people unemployed and still live in poverty, how can you encourage that our people really pay TV licenses?
Actually, I was going to suggest that the TV license be increased, because I think it's very reasonable considering the amount of work that goes in making sure there's coverage of everything. I think what the SABC needs to do is to go on and market themselves and convince the community that it's worth paying the SABC TV license. And maybe make arrangements to pay it off on a monthly basis. I think that there is that arrangement in place in any case. So make arrangements, but don't reduce the TV license. The income is necessary.
Thank you very much. Are you happy so far with the questions?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Kalako, Ms. Patel hasn't heard your voice. He's the last one.
Welcome, Ms. Patel. Just one question. I think it's a follow-up from what Honorable Tseli raised about the board, the composition of the board. You have these three, which is executive, and then you have 12, which is actually appointed, which is non-executive, by Parliament. Don't you think one of the problems of that board of SABC being dissolved time and again, people resigning, is not because it's too big? What is your opinion?
I don't think the size or the composition of the board has an impact on people leaving. In fact, I think it's an adequate number, considering when I looked at the annual financial statements, there's quite a few committees in place at the SABC, being social and ethics, audit committee and risk, HR, IT, and so on. So in order for board members to serve on those committees and chair those committees, I think we have the SABC has the correct number of non-executive directors.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patel. Before you leave, is there anything that you think the panel members didn't raise with you, which you think is important to declare at this point in time?
Chair.
I assume you are satisfied with all the questions.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. I mean, this is a process. We'll keep honorable members informed whether it's time for verification of qualifications or whatever, you'll be kept informed. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.